Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
As we move forward and deal with law of war issues, Christmas Day bomber, where are you at on Christmas Day?
Senator Graham, that is an undecided legal issue, which, I suppose I should ask exactly what you mean by that. I'm assuming that the question you mean is whether a person who was apprehended in the United States is...
No, I just asked you where you're at on Christmas.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, when you go to the gutter, you wind up with Kagan. But I would expect nothing less. Today is Kagan the Pagan, Part 1. You see, among Jewish people, there is a type that Jewish people themselves refer to as bagel and lox Jews. Kagan the Pagan is a bagel and lox Jew. What does this mean? It refers to a person of Jewish descent who mocks our own religion, a person who shuns her own religion. And when she spoke at her nomination hearings this week, Kagan said she was probably like most Jews at a Chinese restaurant during Christmas. What she did was insult not only her own heritage, but Christians as well. This is exactly what we do not need on the Supreme Court, an anti-religious pagan. She is the type of judge who stands in sharp relief to a serious person of Jewish descent. Let me give you an example. Louis Brandeis became the first Jewish Supreme Court justice way back in 1916. Brandeis was born of Jewish parents who had emigrated from Europe. He enrolled at Harvard Law School, graduating at the age of 20 with the highest grade average in the college's history. And as a lawyer, Brandeis devoted most of his time to public causes and was later dubbed the People's Lawyer because he insisted on serving on cases without pay. Now, you would expect him to have been a radical left-winger, right? Wrong. As a member of the Supreme Court, Brandeis was a staunch defender of free speech and the right to privacy. He also opposed Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal power grab. As a Jew, Brandeis worked for the creation of a Jewish state long before World War II. Now, would a man of this stature and dignity have joked about being at a Chinese restaurant at Christmas? Of course not. He would have realized that he would be mocking himself by doing so. But as demeaning and self-loathing as Kagan's type of personality is, it can have grave consequences for the law and human lives as well. Take the case today of Judge Dennis G. Jacobs. Jacobs is Chief Judge of the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. Jacobs was appointed no less by George W. Bush. Jacobs graduated from Queens College, where he later lectured in the English department. Then in 1973, Judge Jacobs graduated from, of all places, NYU Law. Now, why does this have anything to do with Kagan? Let me tell you why. Because today, Jacobs threw out a death sentence against a double cop killer for reasons only lawyers can understand. The cop killer was found guilty of executing two cops in an undercover operation. The killer was given the death penalty in 2003. Yet this Judge Jacobs threw out the death sentence today because he claimed that prosecutors violated the cop killer's constitutional rights by stating the cop killer was not remorseful during the sentencing phase. This is an insane technicality that only a lawyer could understand, that only an NYU law graduate could accept. And this is what I mean when I say that pagan-like judges can have grave consequences, indeed. Elena Kagan is unqualified at any weight. She should not be confirmed. She should not be confirmed. Kagan should be filibustered. If we had a real two-party system, she never would have been nominated in the first place. This is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. We're open for business. And I will say again, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Elena Kagan could not understand that because she was raised by an atheistic street lawyer, her father, who he himself was the type of street rabble lawyer who has given us most of the problems we have today. 1-800-449-8255. Janet in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Mark, I just wanted to disagree with you a little bit, with due respect. I don't find it offensive. I'm Jewish, and I don't find that the least bit offensive. Matter of fact, I'm just surprised she didn't say she went to the movies. This is what Jews do on Christmas. They're not required to observe Christmas. It's not their holiday. I didn't see her as showing any disrespect to Christians. She totally
Hold on now. You're saying two things. One, you say all Jews go to the movies and Chinese restaurants on Christmas. Then you're saying that you know this does not show any disrespect for Christmas. But you're not a Christian, so how would you know if it's not offensive to Christians?
Well, okay, I guess Christians would have to call and comment on that.
Well, let's put aside the Jewish comment that she made, which I felt to be insulting, demeaning, and inappropriate. What do you think of Kagan's qualifications?
From what I know, I think they're very good. I think she has...
Why do you think they're very good?
Quite brilliant. I think she understands...
I'm asking you what she has found or written that makes her quite good.
I don't know what she's written. I've just been hearing her...
Wait a minute. You just said that she's brilliant by what you know that she's written. And now I ask you what she's written, and Janet, you say you don't know. So it means what you heard, in the Chinese restaurant?
No. What I heard in the hearings, I'm impressed with her knowledge. I'm impressed with her.
But she has said nothing during the hearings. In fact, legal scholars are amazed that they're able to get away with these nonsensical nothing hearings.
I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I felt like I was in a constitutional law class and that she was instructing me on the level I'm at this point, which, as I say.
Well, okay, so what did you learn about the Constitution from Kagan?
Well, I learned about the Supreme Court and some of the things it's supposed to do and not supposed to do, and at least how
really?
To use it, that it's not what she called a self-starter.
Do you know anything about Kagan's background?
I know very little, not a whole lot.
But you know that she's brilliant. Now, where did you get the idea that she's brilliant?
Because, as I said, I've listened to her.
Simply because she can banter with a bunch of stooge senators, that makes her brilliant? What do you know about her? What do you know about her legal background?
Not too much. I know she's Solicitor General. I know she was a...
So wouldn't it be of an interest to you to learn something about Kagan's judicial findings or judicial background?
If I were going to go into it very deeply and had the time...
So in other words, you don't think it's important enough to go into it very deeply for someone who's going to be on the Supreme Court for the rest of her life and who's going to affect virtually all aspects of our lives? That's not important enough to look into what she's found?
Well, I'm not on the decision-making committee. I mean, if I were saying...
Well, you are. You're amongst it. In a sense, you are. You're part of the public opinion committee. That's why you're listening to talk radio and why you called me up and say you found her inane joke not to be offensive. You were trying to say she's a fine person and a wonderful genius.
Well, yeah. If I were not under some constraints of time at this point, I probably would be reading.
Would you have 5 minutes to listen to some of the things she has... done and written over the years? Would that perhaps be of any interest to you? Yes or no?
Yes, sure.
Okay, then stay tuned because that's what you're going to get. Let us begin with this, okay? When Kagan was dean of the Harvard Law School, she presented a guest speaker who was known as the most activist judge in the world. His name is Judge Aaron Barak, formerly president of the Israeli Supreme Court. And what did this Judge Barak stand for? This judge is the polar opposite of the U.S. Constitution. Our Constitution, which this caller, Janet, knows nothing of, she says she thinks that Kagan is a great constitutional scholar. The exact opposite is true. Kagan stands against the Constitution, as does Barack Hussein Obama, because the U.S. Constitution states that all legislative powers are vested in the elective legislative body, but that Israeli judge wrote that a judge should make and create law, and he should assume a role in the legislative process and give statutes new meaning that suits new social needs. This crazy Israeli judge wrote that a judge is subject to no authority except himself, and he must sometimes depart the confines of his legal system and channel it into fundamental values not yet found in it. Do you understand what he just said? This crazy weirdo from Israel is who Kagan said is her judicial hero. Kagan's praise of this Israeli nut should disqualify her in and of itself. This nut from Israel embraces a judicial philosophy that has no bearing upon our Constitution. During Kagan's confirmation hearings for Solicitor General, Senator Allinspector asked Kagan her views on using foreign or international law or decisions to interpret our Constitution. Kagan the Pagan wrote in reply that she approves of using reasonable foreign law arguments. She is wrong. The U.S. Constitution says our judges, quote, shall be bound by the Constitution, and the laws of the U.S. shall be made in pursuance thereof. And so don't be deceived. Barack Hussein Obama is the man who picked her. And what does Barack Hussein Obama think about the Supreme Court? And what does Barack Hussein Obama think about the U.S. Constitution? He revealed himself when he complained on a Chicago radio station in 2001. Barack Hussein Obama said that the Warren Court was not radical enough because, quote, it didn't break free from the essential constraints placed by the founding fathers in the Constitution in order to allow redistribution of wealth. Did you hear what I just said? Have you any idea who Hussein Obama is yet? Well, let's look at Kagan again. She's an extreme feminist. And what has Kagan done while she was at Harvard? Who did she pick to speak while she was at Harvard? Kagan thumbed her nose at Constitution Day 2007 by hiring a transnationalist to the Harvard faculty, Noah Feldman, and featuring him for 2 days of speeches. Now, why is that important to you? Because the caller, Janet, who is probably a nice enough woman but ignorant on virtually every count, says that she thinks Kagan is a wonderful protector of the Constitution. The opposite is true. Kagan despises the U.S. Constitution. Kagan stands to overthrow the U.S. Constitution or go around the U.S. Constitution. Kagan is everything that is wrong with the judicial system wrapped up in one deceitful ball of deceit. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm assuming that the question you mean is whether a person who was apprehended in the United States...
Again, you're doing it.
No, I just asked you where you were at on Christmas.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
Kagan the Pagan makes a mockery not only of her Jewish heritage, insults Christians, and of course, symbolically explains to you her lack of character. Because if you actually look at what this woman has done, you'll find out that that relatively benign joke is relatively benign. She was the lead White House strategist advising Clinton to veto the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. Now, what is that act? 10 years later, the same act was passed by Congress, signed by President Bush, and upheld by the Supreme Court. It banned infanticide. Yet Kagan, who is not married and has no children, is going to be on the Supreme Court deciding such matters for you and your children. Did you hear that? Kagan is a radical extremist of every kind. Everything wrong with America, from the rights of prisoners to you name it, is embodied in this one person. Florida, Chris, you're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing today? Hello?
Please, sir, look, let's start from the top. You don't know me, I don't know you, so why are you asking me how I'm doing? Why don't you make your statement? It would be much easier for everybody if you did.
Sure, why not? Well, when Elena Kagan made that joke, I mean, everybody makes jokes, and to condemn her just for that joke or for anything that she jokes around about, that is just, it's not, you know, how would you like somebody to make that same comment about you on a joke that you make? I mean,
but I'm not up for the Supreme Court, am I?
You're right, but it's,
no, I'm a talk show host. I'm not up to be sitting on the Supreme Court for the rest of my life deciding life and death issues, am I?
True, but.
Well, okay, well, thank you very much for seeing the difference between me and her. This is an anti-military woman. Did you know about that? This is a woman who hates the military. This is a woman who hates the traditional family. This is a woman who hates the U.S. Constitution. Shall I go down the list? The left wing is infatuated by her. Don't you understand she's an extremist? Don't you understand how extreme she is? How could you buy the lie that she's a moderate and a conservative, which is what the left has been putting out ever since this extreme leftist has been nominated? And you bought it! Josh, New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Mike, Kagan's comment was simply a reflection of the fact that the only businesses that are open on Christmas are Chinese restaurants and movie theaters. So that is, first of all, I don't know why the senator needed to know what she was doing on Christmas, number one. Number two, her comment.
Well, I'll explain to you why that was asked. It was asked by the sneak of all sneaks, one fake Republican, who gave that. This was a setup question, don't you understand, to humanize her, to permit her to give that softball joke? But okay. Both of them are beneath contempt. Lindsey Graham is a trial lawyer who is cozying up to her because he probably is going to have cases that come before her. Don't you understand that?
I understand. I'm a trial lawyer also, and I don't
all
like
all right, so now you understand it. Don't you understand how that could be taken as being offensive? Don't you see that as demeaning for a Jewish person to get up and say, like most Jews, I was in a Chinese restaurant? Don't you see that that's disgusting? It's like a gutter-level answer?
It is, but it insults Jews. It does not insult Christians.
And all right, good. Let's put the Christians aside. I started by saying that, if you heard my monologue, I said she not only mocks her own heritage, but Christians as well. So you don't agree with the second part of the sentence, but do you agree with me that it mocks her own heritage?
I don't really think it does mock her own heritage, because I think it is just merely a reflection of the fact that every business closes down on Christmas because it's a federal holiday. And we all, you know, I'm going to tell you, as a Jewish person, I joke about what we're going to do, either go to a Chinese restaurant or go to a movie theater.
And you think that that's appropriate for a person up there to sit on the Supreme Court for the next 50 years to make such a paltry Catskill Mountain joke? You think that that's dignified? You think she's bringing dignity to the court with that remark? Or fulfilling a stereotype about a gutter type?
Savage.
I'm assuming that the question you mean is whether a person who was apprehended in the United States is...
No, I just asked you where you were at on Christmas.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
So Barack Hussein Obama has gone to the gutter twice now to stock the Supreme Court with people who have demeaned not only the court but themselves. And I have to reiterate, I was so offended. Yes, I oppose her politics. Let's start with that. But there are dignified liberals, and then there are gutter liberals. You understand the difference? Then there are liberals, then there are extreme progressives who are communists. I am telling you that this type is a type that is well-known. This is a type that is well-known in politics. This is a type that is well-known amongst Jewish people themselves. Elena Kagan is known as a bagel and lox Jew. What does that mean? It means a person of Jewish descent who mocks herself and her own religion. In other words, think of Woody Allen or of Larry David. Now, if you want Woody Allen on the Supreme Court or Larry David in a skirt, you've got it here. I rest my case. Because I've already told you that there are Jewish people who were on the Supreme Court who have dignity. Many of you never heard of Louis Brandeis. The university is named for him. So immediately say, Louis Brandeis, who is he? You don't know who he is. This man was appointed to the Supreme Court in 1916 to show you how long ago a minority was put on the Supreme Court. Louis Brandeis was born of Jewish parents who had emigrated from Europe. He was a first-generation American. He enrolled himself at Harvard Law School and graduated at the age of 20 with the highest grade average in the college's history. He was a genius. He was brilliant. And as a lawyer, he devoted most of his time to public causes and was later dubbed the People's Lawyer because Brandeis insisted on serving on cases without pay. Now, let's stop there. You would assume, therefore, he was a radical leftist, but he wasn't. As a member of the Supreme Court, Brandeis was a staunch defender of free speech and the right to privacy, but he also opposed Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal power grab. You wouldn't understand that. But would you think that a man of Louis Brandeis' stature would have joked about being at a Chinese restaurant at Christmas? Of course not. Brandeis would have realized that it would be mocking not only himself by doing so, but also insulting Christians by spitting on their religion and their holiest day of the year. What if she had been asked, where were you on Muhammad's birthday? Or where were you during Ramadan? Do you think she would have cracked the joke?
Well, like most Jews, I was probably picking my teeth with a toothpick at Katz's.
No, she wouldn't have done it. She would have become squirmy and deferential to Muslims, correct? What if someone had said to her, where were you on the Buddhist high holiday? Oh, salam. Oh, wow. Let me get really holy and solemn here. Don't you people understand this? How far removed are you from reality? How denatured are you from character? Does that work for you? How denuded are you of character that you don't even understand how lack of character, what a lack of character she is showing here? She should be filibustered. She is not qualified to be on the Supreme Court. She is below the lowest possible level. She's never been a judge. Let's start with that. Doesn't that offend you? I know a judge with Alzheimer's disease who knows more about the courts than she does. All right, so I'm the only one offended by that joke. All right, well, I'm a man alone. Again, once again, Michael Savage is alone. Not a Republican, not a Democrat. Okay, once again, I'm alone. I took offense at that joke. So let's move on. New York, WOR, Sammy, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Michael. First of all, I love listening to your show, but I'm very offended by her comment. I'm Jewish, and I think most normal people on Christmas evening spend their time with their family instead of wasting their time in the Chinese restaurant. My feeling is that she's lesbian as well, and that's why she hates people with families.
Well, it's well known that she is of that orientation. It's not come up because nobody would dare raise the issue. But I can guarantee you, you mark my words today. Mark my words, within 15 days of her appointment to the Supreme Court, there are going to be celebrations from Castro Street to every other gay neighborhood around the world. You mark my words. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. 1-800-449-8255. This is not a liberal you're listening to or looking at. You are looking at a radical socialist, if you even want to dignify her with that. She is so out of touch with the mainstream of America that she has no place being nominated. But that didn't stop the fake Republicans from bending over backwards to placate her and their party bosses. They could have put her on the grill. There was one man who did it. There's only one senator who stood up to her. He's a great guy, and that would be the great Senator Jeff Sessions. In his opening comments, he made comments that are worth hearing, and I think that you should hear some of them. She has, maybe I shouldn't bore you with this. Let's start with clip 20. Let's hear 20.
During her time as dean at Harvard, Ms. Kagan reversed Harvard's existing policy and kicked the military out of the recruiting office in violation of federal law. Her actions punished the military and demeaned our soldiers as they were courageously fighting for our country in two wars overseas. As someone who feels the burden of sending such young men and women into harm's way, and who spent much time drafting and redrafting legislation to ensure military recruiters were treated fairly on campus, I can't take this issue lightly. Dean Kagan also joined with three other law school deans to write a letter in opposition to Senator Graham's legislation establishing procedures for determining who was an enemy combatant in the war on terror. She compared this legislation, which passed 84-14, to the fundamentally lawless actions of dictatorships. Most recently, the nominee served as Solicitor General for a little over a year, but her short tenure there has not been without controversy. In her first appellate argument, Ms. Kagan told the court that the speech and press guarantees in the First Amendment would allow the federal government to ban the publication of pamphlets discussing political issues before an election. I would remind my colleagues that the American Revolution was in no small part spurred by just such political pamphlets. Thomas Paine's Common Sense. To suggest that the government now has the power to suppress that kind of speech is breathtaking. Also, as Solicitor General, Ms. Kagan approved the filing of a brief to the Supreme Court asking that it strike down provisions of the legal Arizona Workers Act. which suspends or revokes business licenses of corporations which knowingly hire illegal immigrants, even though federal law expressly prohibits such hiring.
She now, did that's this Jeff even- Sessions, Republican of Alabama, one of the great senators left in America, who actually knows the danger that Kagan poses to our republic. She was chosen by an anti-constitutionalist, Barack Obama, because she herself is part of the international conspiracy of anti-constitutionalists. And what's amazing to me is my first caller today was a woman named Janet from New York, who brightly said she likes Kagan because she is a brilliant legal scholar. When I asked her what she has written, she said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, how do you know she's a brilliant legal scholar?" "Well, I've watched her during the hearings, and she seems so bright." And I said, "What has she said that made her so bright?" She says, "I don't really know." You don't understand what's been going on. You have no idea that you're being brainwashed. You people don't even understand the power of propaganda. The left has laid the groundwork for this for months now. The radical left in the media has greased the skids for this human being for months now. The radical left has put out the lie that she's very conservative and that they don't approve of her. Don't you understand how they operate? What the hell is wrong with you? I feel as though I am a voice in the wilderness. And I feel sometimes as though I am the only one left in America who actually sees the whole picture. And I know that that can't be true. I am in agony over the lowness of our government under Obama. Obama may as well be Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. He's just smoother than them. But all the policies of Sharpton, of Jackson, and of Louis Farrakhan, and now throw in Reverend Wright, rolled into one ball, can be seen emanating from none other than our president. But you don't know that because he's got style. So you don't care about his substance. Well, I would even object to that. I don't think Barack Hussein Obama even has a style that is worthy of emulating. I think his style has been seen many, many times before. And I personally don't buy the act. Why you do, I don't understand. Well, you're going to live with Kagan for the next 50 years. And you're going to remember this day as long as you can live because I am right and you are wrong. 1-800-449-8255. She made a mockery of the process. She debased the Supreme Court. She ridiculed the Jewish people. She spit on a Christian tradition that is very important. All in one bad joke. I was going to say that Woody Allen couldn't have done a better job of being a self-mocking Jew. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. So Kagan the Pagan has many writings that you've heard nothing about because the vermin in the media have so obfuscated her radical past that you think she's a conservative. You have no idea. Jeff Sessions offered a devastating statement documenting her extreme liberalism, her thesis on socialism, her fear that socialism would be diminished, her master's thesis praising the radical activism of Earl Warren, how she worked for the Michael Dukakis for President campaign, how she took a leave as a law school professor to help Joe Biden foist Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg from the ACLU onto the Supreme Court. I can go on and on, continuously on and on. She actually said that an enemy combatant should not face a military tribunal. She should instead go to, they should be able to get their lawyer, some lawyers from NYU to defend them. The lawyer is the type who would defend the Nazi party from marching in Skokie. You know the type of lawyer. You know the type of lawyer. Here's an email I just got. Dear Savage, I'm cooking dinner for guests, or I'd call in to prove you're not alone. I could not put my finger on why Kagan's comment made me so uncomfortable, but you nailed it. It is irreverent to Christmas, the holiest day of the Christian faith, and it makes all Jews sound secular, which is untrue. As a matter of fact, most religious Jews who I know dine with Christians on Christmas rather than go to a Chinese restaurant. Remain anonymous. Now, a dignified response to that question could have gone like this. Let's say someone said, "Where were you on Christmas?" and you're up for the Supreme Court and you're of Jewish heritage. The answer might have been, "While I myself did not celebrate Christmas, I revere Christmas, and I tend to be with Christian friends who celebrate Christmas because I know what a great nation this is and how it was founded on Christian principles." That would have been an appropriate answer. But we didn't hear that.
I was in a Chinese restaurant like all Jews. And what'd you have? Pork chow mein? With your friends?
It's disgusting. If you like Larry David and you love Woody Allen, put the two of them together, get them a drape, put the drape over them, and that's who you have on the Supreme Court. Mike in San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I think it's very inappropriate, and in fact, I think it's a mockery of our whole system, especially the Supreme Court. And she's not qualified to be on the Supreme Court, but neither are the senators who are asking her those questions. It is a joke question in the first place. And why don't you just ask her what her favorite color is, or if she likes long
walks. You're right. That's right. You know, there is such cynicism in America towards lawyers to begin with, towards Congress, cynicism. Towards hearings like this, which we know are a foregone conclusion, she was handpicked by the oligarchy because she's going to serve their needs on every level. And this is just a mockery. We no longer really have a Congress, do we?
No, we don't. I think it was a bogus setup question in the first place, just to get a stupid answer like that out of her, you know?
Well, no, I have a different opinion. I believe that Lindsey Graham was asked or told to present this question to her so that she could come up with this, apparently, in her mind, comedic answer to humanize her, you get it, and to break the ice, and to have everyone break out in big laughter. It was like watching daytime television. This is something that an Oprah Winfrey audience would think is funny. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. We're living in an equivalent of Uruguay, or perhaps Paraguay. It's unbelievable to me what's happened to this country, how rapidly it's diminishing under Obama. It's as though we're living in Uruguay right now, and he's selecting cronies from a law school to sit on the Supreme Court, so when he enacts his dictatorial powers, they can just be his Stepford wives. Nevada Benjamin, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, if I told my Christian friend, what are you doing on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, and they said, well, I'll probably go golfing or movies, wouldn't bother me in the least. It's a religious thing.
But that's because your mind is distorted. This is not a nation founded by Jews. What did this country suddenly became Israel?
But
when did America become Israel? I don't understand. When did this become Israel?
There's nothing to do with that. When it comes to religion.
Well, you got everything upside down. What do you mean if a Christian said to you about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is not the holiest day of the year for Christians. This is a Christian nation. What's wrong with you? Don't you understand who founded this nation? You have no idea what the foundation of this nation is built upon?
When it comes to religion, I don't celebrate it with my friends of the Christian faith.
You're a simpleton, so I don't want to get angry at you and make a mockery of you, Benjamin. I feel bad for you. I heard you were struggling with an answer. Okay, let it go at that. I was offended by it. And I would think that you understand why I chose this offense to bring you into the actual offensive nature of her legal findings, but apparently you're not interested in that. You're not interested in the fact that this woman stands opposed to everything that's fundamentally decent in America. She stands opposed to the U.S. military. She stands opposed to the traditional family. She stands opposed to the unborn's right to life. She stands opposed to the U.S. Constitution itself, saying that we should introduce foreign laws, even though that's in violation of the Constitution. On and on and on. She's out of the mainstream of liberalism itself. She is an extreme radical. She makes Ruth Bader Ginsburg look like a moderate. Don't you understand that? You know, I have to cool it. I'll tell you why. I'm getting agitated by what Obama's doing to this country. It's getting me crazy. I sometimes think that I'm the only one who sees the danger we're in. The man is an auto-dictate. The man is a dictator, and he's getting worse by the day because no one's standing up to him. The man controls the press. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. When have you last seen pictures of birds with oil on them? 20 days ago? Why are you no longer seeing pictures of birds with oil on them in Louisiana? Because the vermin in the media, people like Katie Couric, have been told not to show any pictures of birds with oil on them because it's bad for Barack Hussein Obama's image as a manager. When have you last seen any pictures of the oil spill? Answer, 20 days ago when the government said no more pictures allowed. Do you have any idea you're living in a dictatorship controlled by the government media complex? Do you have any idea how lucky you are that you even have talk radio left where we can even talk about these ideas? How much longer do you... No, let's put it another way. Do you think that if Elena Kagan was asked whether or not the government has the right to shut down ideas it opposes, which side do you think she'd be on? You know what side she'd be on. She's already indicated which side she'd be on. She said the government has the right to ban books. She said that in legal writings. Don't you understand who this creature is? This creature is a threat to our liberties. But I have no power. And I could see I am talking to myself. I can see that I'm literally talking to myself. I'm crying out in a desert of ignorance. I don't know what else to use. Is it a product of the media, I ask myself? Is it a product of the lack of education in America? Is it a product of this? Is it a product of that? I don't even know anymore. All I know is that it's like living in Uruguay, and the worst is yet to come. 1-800-449-8255. So I'm the only American offended by Kagan. We'll move on. Remember who called a Kagan the pagan. Remember who just threw out a death sentence against a double cop killer for reasons only lawyers can understand. It wasn't Kagan, but it was a Judge Jacobs who thinks like Kagan. You understand that there are ramifications to this kind of thinking? Kagan has said that a terrorist who would like to take your daughter and cut her throat and throw her down a well while chanting to Allah should not be given a military trial. Kagan said that that person's entitled to a lawyer like her, a brilliant lawyer from NYU, a lawyer who thinks she's God Almighty, because we lawyers, we're smarter, we're better, we're lawyers, we're better than everybody.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Assuming that the question you mean is whether a person who was apprehended in the United States is...
No, I just asked you where you were at on Christmas.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
Just what the doctor ordered. Just what the doctor ordered. After Madoff, we need a Kagan now. Really elevates the Jewish people, you know, to a real high level. Just what the doctor ordered. Madoff wasn't bad enough. Now we need a Kagan. Like all Jews, I was in a Chinese restaurant. So she speaks for all Jews, does she? I guess the same way Al Sharpton speaks for all blacks. I guess the same way La Raza speaks for all Hispanics. Do you understand the narcissism in the answer? Do you understand the demeaning nature of the answer? Do you understand the insult to Christians in the answer? Do you understand what we're in for with Kagan the Pagan? I have talked about this for over 1 hour now, about Kagan the Pagan and how she has not only mocked herself with that answer, but she has insulted Christians as well. And I said this is exactly what we do not need on the Supreme Court. But it's not just that one statement. If it was simply a statement like that, and her legal findings had been very balanced, I wouldn't even be talking about her. But she is the most extremist possibility that Obama could have found on virtually every issue. I have spent days on this, but the media is so powerful. that you think she's a conservative and very brilliant. Well, she's not a conservative, and she's not very brilliant. She is simply a worker for the internationalist goals. The fact of the matter is, there have been people on the Supreme Court of Jewish heritage who are very distinguished, but you probably don't even know their names. They are the opposite of a Kagan. The one who comes to mind is Louis Brandeis. Do you know that Louis Brandeis was made a Supreme Court justice back in 1916? I mean, we hear that America is a racist nation. And it wasn't for, I don't know who, the 60s. Oh, everyone was living in hell in America. Everyone was picked on who was not a member of the Ku Klux Klan, according to the storyline of the vermin on the left. How is it then in 1916, a Jewish man, immigrant no less, an immigrant family, could get himself through Harvard Law and become a Supreme Court justice? If it was run by such Ku Klux Klanners, how did he become a Supreme Court justice? The answer is because that's a big lie as well. So Brandeis enrolled at Harvard, graduated at the age of 20 with the highest grade average in the college's history. And he devoted his time to public causes, later called a people's lawyer, because he insisted on serving on cases without pay. Now compare him to the wonderful lawyers we have today. So you'd think, well, he was a commie. You're wrong. He was a wonderful defender of free speech, unlike Kagan, who has said that the government could ban books. And he defended the right to privacy, unlike Kagan, who has said Obama has the right to fundamentally shut down the internet. But, let's see, what else did Brandeis do? He opposed Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal power grab. You don't know any of this, and it's not important. But I'm asking you, would a man like Brandeis, a man of that stature, have joked about being at a Chinese restaurant at Christmas? Of course not. He understands that it's not a funny thing that the American people are rightfully frightened of lawyers. The American people are terrified of the nature of our government. The people are terrified as to who is being put on the Supreme Court, and he would have answered it with some dignity. He probably would have said, well, as a Jewish man, I myself respect Christmas, and I generally try to be with Christian friends on their most holy day, because it was Christians who founded this great nation. That would have been a dignified answer.
Like most Jews, I was probably in a Chinese restaurant fressing down some pork and noodles. What do you mean, huh? Go ahead.
Chicago, Betsy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, listen, I'm a big fan. I don't have to say that, but you know, I really think you're mischaracterizing Elena Kagan. She was, that question to her about Christmas was really, she was put off guard on that. And what the senator.
Well, hold on. She was put off guard for the first time, and she answered and showed her true nature, which is not up to the dignified standards of the Supreme Court. She could have shown her true nature by saying, I generally celebrate Christmas with Christian friends, although I am not Christian myself.
Well, you're demeaning Jews, not Elena Kagan, and you're putting everything to fit your mold to demonize her.
There we go again. Anyone who criticizes any Jew is a Jew hater, right? Is that it?
No, you demean Jews.
Well, you heard me hold up Louis Brandeis. Why don't you congratulate me for that? You don't even know who Louis Brandeis is, do you? You're an expert on everything. But do you know who Louis Brandeis is until I told you today?
Goes about Brandeis. Would you like me to send him to you? I know all about Brandeis.
Also, you're an expert on Louis Brandeis, but you didn't say, Michael, thanks for telling America about the Jewish Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis. How come that didn't come out of your mouth?
I know about him.
Oh, you know about him, but my audience may not have known about him. I was trying to show the difference between a gutter rat like Kagan and a distinguished man like Brandeis.
And this is why you always get in trouble, because you shoot yourself in the foot. You lose people this way, Michael. You have so many people that love you, but your mind is so closed.
Oh, my mind is closed and your mind is open?
Michael, I think your mind
is... Hold on a minute. Tell me what it is about a Kagan that makes her distinguished. Go ahead.
Did you listen to everything today like a lot of...
I asked you... No, don't play a Talmudic scholar with me. You tell me, since you're defending her, what she has said or done as a legal scholar that gives you hope that she will bring to the Supreme Court the kind of balance we need. What happened to your tongue? Where'd you go, lady? Oh, honey, look, honey, that's why you're alone at this age. That's why your husband left you. That's why your children don't see you except on Christmas, honey. Because when you finally get a real question, suddenly you hang up. But let me tell you something. She has no distinguished history. And I am not distorting her. She is a distortion of reality, this woman. And she gave herself away with the Chinese restaurant joke. And that is why I'm hammering it. I found a way to get into your psyches about Kagan and the actual level of this woman. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, what if this was a Republican president and he had gone to pick some right-wing college? I don't know if there are any. Let us say a Christian university in the South, if there are any left. And he found a judge, the dean of a law school, who had worked for the most extremist right-wing positions imaginable over the last 10 or 15 years, and had written papers about various things that the average American would find offensive. Do you think that that individual would have even gotten to a hearing? Of course not, because the vermin in the media would have blocked that person from getting this far. Don't you understand what an extremist this person is? No, I guess not. Because she sounds so smart and brilliant. At least that's what you read in your local newspaper, so you believe it. That's like believing Obama's competent and brilliant. San Diego John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just wanted to say I think you're missing something about this whole exchange with Lindsey Graham, and that's the fact that there's something more telling, because he basically asked her a question, and she was real quick to jump to an assumption that on what he was asking, and I kind of would expect more from a Supreme Court judge.
You mean, you think he was really asking about the Christmas tree bomber?
Well, he may very well have been, but her willingness to jump to that...
How about my answering for her? Because I'll tell you what she thinks about the Christmas tree bomber. If Lindsey Graham actually wanted to know, which I doubt. She believes that the Christmas tree bomber has the right to a lawyer from NYU or Harvard to give him all the constitutional rights to make sure he can bomb again. Does that help you? Kagan is an insult to the word lawyer itself. Kagan has debased the law. And the only reason Kagan became dean of the Harvard Law School, let's go back in history, let's clear the air here. Do you actually think Kagan is that brilliant? How do you think she became dean of the Harvard Law School? By threatening everybody with lawsuits, with affirmative action. How dare you? I'll sue you. You don't know how affirmative action works? Take a look at Obama. What do you think, he's another genius? How did he become president? From his distinguished legal career, from the brilliant legal writings that rose him to the top, they looked up to him. He was the zenith of legal writings, Barack Hussein Obama. No one knows what he ever wrote. How did he become such a genius in the law? Figure it out. Figure it out. 25 years of liberal guilt and 25 years of brainwashing. Every movie for 25 years, there was a character like Hussein Obama. He was the leader of the submarine pact that saved America in World War II. He was the surgeon who came up with a new kind of brain surgery. The judge, there was the judge on TV, the genius judge, smarter than everybody, that only oppression kept him back. 25 years of brainwashing, so you actually bought into it. Now you have the same thing going on with Elena Kagan. It wasn't bad enough living through the embarrassment of Sotomayor. Another one not distinguished enough to be let alone a judge to wind up on the Supreme Court. This is a mockery. It's as though I'm living in Uruguay under Obama. I'll move on. Cincinnati, Mary, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hi. Watching the Kagan hearings for the last couple of days, the point of disgust that I have is how much is this costing the American taxpayer for all of this? I watched that with rage. I wanted to kick my TV in because I felt
Why? Because you feel you're not getting any answers. Is that it?
Right. And the other thing is, I don't need to hear what the top song was in 1980. I don't need to hear about Leahy Wayne.
Can you believe that a senator by the name of Klobuchar asked her about a movie? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the number one song.
Well, I want everyone to hear what a senator, who is Amy Klobuchar? Who is this lowlife senator who would ask her about a movie? Listen, like Chicago, Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Doctor, thanks for taking my call.
Number one, just the fact that she's in the hearings is an insult to the entire judicial system. Just another example of an unqualified, inexperienced person taking such an important post. We have one running the country right now. That's the insult.
Well, when you have Obama running the country, who would you expect him to bring into the Supreme Court? Somebody of a distinguished background or somebody who he thinks is distinguished because he himself doesn't even know the difference between a distinguished jurist and someone like her? All right, end of story. Public could care less about it. Have you found...
And Solicitor General Kagan, you had an incredibly grueling day yesterday and did incredibly well, but I guess it means you missed the midnight debut of the third Twilight movie last night. We did not miss it in our household, and it culminated in 3 15-year-old girls sleeping over at
3 a.m. Shut up. Shut up. Look what we're electing now to office. Take a look at it. Take a look at that. That's a senator today. You know, I go back a few years in America. I used to look up to senators. They were like demigods. They had so much dignity and power and class. Take a look at what we have today. Take a look at all of these people they put into the Senate and the Congress. Is it any wonder they reach down to the lowest law school in the land and they come up with this? They drain the pond and this is what's left on the bottom flopping around. They drain the pond of Harvard Law School and this is all that's flopping on the ground up there. I mean, there are liberal professors at Harvard who have a distinguished background. They may be liberals. I may be opposed to most of their belief system, but they are distinguished lawyers, distinguished by their writings. They have brilliant minds. I can name three of them. This one doesn't even enter the fourth ring of brilliance. How in the hell did this happen? The answer is because even the liberal establishment itself has lost its bearings. That's why. They would never have permitted this woman to get this far if they themselves still had their compass. But I don't know even if they have their compass anymore. Now listen to clip 9. It gets even better.
But the United States Supreme Court, as a court of final appeal, has no check on itself. And the question, who watches the watchman, is very much pertinent.
Every judge has to do what he or she thinks the law requires.
No.
But on the other hand, there's no question.
No.
I think that...
Turn her off. By the way, the phrase, who watches the watchman, is from a monologue I gave 2 years ago. Thank you, Sheldon Whitehouse. I'm glad that you were listening to The Savage Nation. Of course, I didn't coin the phrase, but I wrote an incredible monologue years ago called Who Watches the Watchman? And as we well know right now, there is no answer to that because no one is watching the watchman because there's no longer any watches at all. Las Vegas, Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation. It's a hard day's night. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. How about the arrests of the Russian spies? Would you like my theory on that, of who's behind this? Because you have to ask yourself, why now? I mean, Obama had a hamburger with the president of Russia last week, right? The famous hamburger summit. They munched burgers together last week. Remember, we had a picture of the president chomping down on a piece of meat? Okay, no problem with that. Very dignified to see a president munching on a hamburger. That really elevates the presidency. Along the lines of Michelle Obama getting off Air Force One in a tank top and a pair of shorts last summer. That was very dignified because the media told you that she's the best-dressed woman in the world and she's brought a new class to the White House. All what the media tells you is what's real. Kagan's a genius. Obama's a god. Michelle is the best-dressed, best-looking first lady in history. Oh, well, whatever they say must be true, correct? Not to this man. I have an opinion on everything. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I'd be shocked if President Obama did not pick someone that shared his general view of the law and life. You're largely a progressive in the mold of Obama himself. Do you agree with that?
Senator Graham, you know, in terms of my political views, I've been a Democrat all my life. I've worked for two Democratic presidents, and those are, you know, that's what my political views are.
And would you consider them your political views progressive?
My political views are generally progressive.
Progressive, code word, international socialist. I rest my case. What would you expect from Barack Obama? A reasonable liberal? He passed all of them over to put this extremist, this unqualified extremist on the court. She has nothing to qualify, to dignify her at all. Nothing. Now, I want to talk about something nothing to do with her, because it's of no interest to me anymore. I've said all I'm going to say. There's nothing more to say about Kagan the Pagan. I'm on record. My monologue about Kagan the Pagan is on michaelsavage.com. Read it. If you don't like it, it's too bad. Then put together your own website. Okay, then you can tell people to read your opinion. That's all. It's that simple. Let's move on. Now, just as the media has lied to you about how brilliant Kagan is, the media has lied to you about various and sundry medical advances. One of them is a group of drugs, cholesterol-lowering drugs, called statins. Statins. What you don't know is that it's one of the greatest scams in the history of medicine. A new study has come out that was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, June of 28th, 2010, that tends to support everything I've suspected about the pharmaceutical medical establishment that should shock you. Now, I've told you that I tried to take them myself several times. I had very severe muscle aches and gave them up after a few days. But I'm only one out of millions of people. But if you go to your cardiologist, he will tell you falsely, probably because he has been lied to by the drug manufacturers, that there is a reduction of stroke and heart attacks as a result of taking this class of drugs. This study proves the opposite. The cholesterol-lowering cardiovascular diseases and the rosuvastatin Jupiter controversy was just published, as I say, in the Archives of Internal Medicine. It was published yesterday. And it says the results of the trial do not support the use of statin treatment for primary prevention of cardiovascular diseases and, here it comes, raise troubling questions concerning the role of commercial sponsors. Bingo. In other words, the manufacturers of these drugs own these doctors the same way that street pimps own prostitutes. Now you say, come on, that's a little extreme. No, not at all. One of the lead proponents, or well, that's a nice word. One of the lead salesmen is a Dr. Abramson, and Dr. Abramson, I think, is also from Harvard, the same place that Kagan comes from, and he has served in many cases as a consultant for many companies. This is classic today, and this is classically done now amongst doctors. And you'll find that the pharmaceutical companies are buying doctors the same way a guy with a fur suit in the streets of Oakland in the 1970s could have a run of women in the street. The same way a guy with a big hat and a mink coat could have a run of women in the streets of Oakland, let's say 20 years ago. That's the same way the pharmaceutical companies have doctors today on their payroll, who then control journals, which control publications, which then control what doctors dispense to their patients. Now, I'm not going to read you the study. You should read it yourself. Just know that this class of drugs is not everything your doctor is telling you that they are, number one. Number two, the pharmaceutical companies have influenced the results of these scientific findings. And number three, many people are severely injured from this use of drugs. Many people are severely injured from the use of this class of drugs and should not be taking them. There are many conflicts of interests in these drug trials, and they're all pointed out in this study. And you should know about this. Now, you'll say, well, I didn't read that in the paper. I didn't hear that from the FDA. Why should I listen to you, a talk show host, on this? Why, my cardiologist knows more than you do. Well, it could be your cardiologist doesn't know as much as I do about this, just as you don't know anything about Kagan and I do. Because I do this for a living and you don't. In other words, I actually studied what Kagan has done over the years. You haven't. All you do is tune into TV and you think you know everything about Kagan. But the whole thing is a circus. So that's it. This is what happens. This is what's happened to America. So what shall I do? What should I do? Change anything? Any controversy which is for the sake of God or heaven will have a good result, and any controversy which is not for the sake of God or heaven will not have a good result. I believe that the controversy we're having today is for the sake of God in heaven, and I believe that the controversy that I have pointed out will have a good result. I believe eventually people will come to understand that I am right about Kagan and that you have been hoodwinked once again by the government media complex. Now, there are four types of people who sit before talk show hosts. Some of you are like sponges, some of you are like funnels, some of you are like strainers, and some of you are like sieves. Some of you are like a sponge which absorbs everything. Some of you are like a funnel, which takes in from one end what I say and spills it out from the other. Some of you are like a strainer, which allows the wine to spill out and retains the sediment. And then some of you are the best kind. You're like a sieve, which allow the flour dust of my sayings to pass through and you retain the fine flour. That's the Savage Nation. Charles in Boston, WRKO calls. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to say, Elena Kagan, you know, she. I know you don't want to talk about it anymore, but she shows a lack of reverence and sobriety to such a pious holiday that's important to other Americans. You know,
thank you. That's right. Chinese restaurant Christmas. I get it. Yep. That's right. Well, what would you expect from a liberal from Harvard? Would you expect her to love Christians and Christmas? Would you expect her to revere the Constitution or spit on the Constitution and say that she's smarter than the old white men who wrote it? Remember, this woman rose as a radical feminist who wanted to up the patriarchy. You understand that? So therefore, any patriarch who wrote anything is garbage to her.
That's right. Her and the other bunch, they all think the same. They have no respect.
They think exactly the same. That's exactly right. That's exactly what we have here. We have an extremist president who's handpicking extremists for the Supreme Court, who we will be stuck with for life. And unfortunately, other than Senator Jeff Sessions, we don't have a voice questioning her. Thanks for the call. You want to talk about drugs, legal or illegal? You want to talk about movies? Should we talk about movies? Maybe that's of interest. I don't want to talk about movies. You want to talk about female Viagra? Would that be of any interest to you? I don't want to talk about it. I'm not interested in it. Do you want to talk about President Obama and his meeting with Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah today? He didn't, by the way, he got no bling. Apparently the outcry about him bending over last time and getting a gold chain reached the handlers at the White House, and he did not accept any gold chains from the king. But he did speak with the king, and he said that that was a good thing. It's interesting, Saudi Arabia. It's an interesting discussion. We haven't had a good discussion about Saudi Arabia for a while. It's the House of Saud. You don't know anything about the House of Saud. Very little is known about them other than they are exporting the most extremist brand of Islam the world has seen since the 1800s, called the Wahhabi sect of Islam, which has now infected most of the mosques in the West, which is why we are having such difficulty between the religions today. I mean, obviously, Islam and Christianity and Judaism have had their moments of strife in the past, but for a good long period, there was very little strife between Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. And then along came the proponents of the Wahhabi sect of Islam, mainly the Saudis, the current generation of Saudis, and they have funded one mosque after another. They put out the most extremist books about this Wahhabi sect. And this Wahhabi sect does not accept any other religion, by the way, as equal to them. You don't know any of this, but you don't want to know it either. You're looking the other way, which is why we had the Christmas tree bomber. Because those of you in the army were taught you can't say anything about Islam, which is why we had the Fort Hood massacre, because those of you in the army who had a chance to stop the Muslim Major Hassan were told to look the other way or you would lose your job. And it ended up with the shooting deaths of 11 or 12 and the injury of 13 others were lifetime injuries, all because you were told by the powers that be that you weren't allowed to criticize anything to do with Islam. And that is why we had the Christmas tree, the attempted takeover of an airliner, and the Fort Hood massacre, and about four or five other events, all because of this Wahhabi sect of Islam, which is poisoning the minds of millions of people around the world. So giving the prelude to the discussion we're about to have, here is our esteemed leader, Chairman Obama, from the Oval Office today in clip 14.
We talked about our joint interest and work together in combating violent extremism. And we talked about a range of strategic issues, including issues related to Afghanistan and Pakistan.
All right, we heard Iran, all of this before. He at least read a good speech from the teleprompter. And you'd expect them to do that. I mean, at least this was presidential. Thank God there was no longer any bling and getting a necklace from them. I'll bet that gold chain that Obama got from him a year ago went up in value. You know, when you think about it. Is he allowed to keep that after office? Or can he give it to a Reverend Wright's church? I don't know if he's... Because if he gets a gift while in office, is he allowed to keep it when he comes out? I don't know how that works. Like they give him a golden golf club or something. But that gold chain, when he got it, the gold was at about $635 an ounce. Today, gold is around $1,400 an ounce. That thing went up. That went up in value, that gift from the king last time. So, you know, don't overlook its value. That was heavy. That was heavy. That was a lot of weight in it. As you can see, it's like a hot day in, Citizen Kane today in the Savage Nation. Think of like a fan, just a slow fan moving overhead with a movie. Let's see, who would be in this movie today? It's a hot summer day. There's no air conditioning. And there's a fan moving around in the court, and everyone's sweating, and they're wiping their neck, they're wiping their head. Boy, remember those days are over. There's no such thing as that. How did people live without air conditioning? How do they live without cable? How do people live without those things? I don't know. They live pretty good. Somehow they were able to meet women and get married and raise children and stay home and raise a child and stick it out like a man. I don't know. How did they do that? How did all those old-timers do that? I wonder. Let's think of the clip. You know, you read my mind, but who am I going to think about? Listen to this now.
What's my fortune? You've been reading the cards, haven't you?
I've been doing the accounts.
Come on, read my future for me.
You haven't got any.
What do you mean?
Your future is all used up. Why don't you go home?
That's sort of a commentary on America today, one of the great pieces in Touch of Evil. So now we're watching the circus of this clown from Harvard, and it's eerie to watch this, to see somebody of this low level performing like this without any real questions except those by Sessions, with the ha-ha and the ho-ho and the he. You know, it's an embarrassment to watch this. It's just an embarrassment. Why don't they just cut it out in the future and say, George Soros wants this person to be on the Supreme Court. Here she is. Rubber stamp her and put her in there, just like in Uruguay. Why waste our time with this? It's a disgrace. We learn nothing about her extremism during any of these hearings. But are you shocked by this? When you have a low life like Al Franken in the Senate, you're shocked by this now? I mean, I would expect things like this coming from him. So let's move on. 1-800-449-8255. Let us go to the, let's see, where is it best to be poor? This is an interesting story. Let me see that story. Let me look at that one. Where is it best to be poor? What kind of stupid story is this? Where is it best to be poor? What is this garbage? 80% of poor. Oh, America is the best place to be poor. I see. 43% of all poor households own their own homes. 80% of poor households have air conditioning. 6% of poor households are overcrowded. 2/3 have more than 2 rooms per person. A typical poor American has more living space than the average individual living in Paris, London, Vienna, Athens, and other cities throughout Europe. 3/4 of poor households own a car. 31% of the poor own 2 or more cars. 97% of poor households have a color TV. Over half own 2 or more color televisions. 78% of the poor in America have a VCR or DVD player. 62% of the poor have cable or satellite TV reception. 89% of the poor own microwave ovens. More than half of the poor have a stereo. More than a third have an automatic dishwasher. So in other words, what's poverty today? Most of the poor today live better than your grandfather did. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We have to have a little back and forth every once in a while, or this place would be boring as hell, I'll tell you.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
You know, if I accept your answer, it's going to spoil a whole 5 minutes I had here.
I would not want to characterize the current court in any way. I hope one day to join it. It means I'd have to get my hair done more often, Senator Spector.
And they said, you're not political, right?
No.
No, you didn't.
You did not do that, Larry.
You know, it just goes up in the...
Larry, you sprayed on Jesus?
Oh, you know, what can I do? I'm taking this medication and it's getting all over the place.
Seinfeld
I can't control.
In a skirt. Larry David on a weight gain diet in a skirt. It's astounding how far we have fallen as a nation that people are not screaming from rooftops. How could you do this to us? How could you drain the swamp of Harvard Law School and come up with this beached whale? Is this the best you can find? Again, I want to repeat. I expect a radical like Obama to select a liberal as a justice, but given that America is 50, 65% conservative by every survey that comes out, you'd think he would want to put a judge up there who we could all live with. But instead, he picks one of the most unqualified extremist judges even amongst liberals. And no one says a word, like nothing. There are three or four Harvard professors that I know of who have written brilliant discourses on the law. I don't agree with most of them, but they're brilliant, and they have a track record of brilliance. This one has nothing. Nothing. This is another zero like Obama himself. Obama has no track record. Don't you understand that as a lawyer or as a judicial, as a scholar? None. But you were told he was a constitutional lawyer. Oh, how do you know that? Well, I heard it on television. You heard she's brilliant, so she's brilliant now. It's like watching a TV show and you hear a laugh track, so it's funny because they put a laugh track in. America fundamentally is like a nation that goes by laugh tracks. Whatever the media tells you, you do. Even though you think that you're independent, you're not. Here we have Seinfeld in a skirt going on to the Supreme Court. This is number two now, a duet. Two in a row now. All right, we've covered the waterfront. My monologue, Kagan the Pagan, is up on michaelsavage.com. Read it. Either you agree with it or you don't agree with it, whatever. We can move on. Houston, Texas, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Michael, avid fan, to begin. I am an optimist, though. I'm going to sound very pessimistic. I believe you know Kagan. We know she's an extremist, that she will be confirmed, and the answer is why. And you alluded to it earlier, a couple segments ago. It's apathy. To you and I, yes. Michael, this is a shock to our conscience.
Yeah, I'm in agony over this low life. But look, I can tell a difference between brain power. Because I'm at a certain level myself. Let me put it to you that way. This one is not at the highest level of the brain level.
Michael, I have no doubt that is the case. But I would predict to you, Michael, that many Americans have no idea there's even a vacancy on the Supreme Court. And if you would ask people, your neighbor to your left and right, they would say, well, who's leaving? Judge Judy? Judge Wapner? This is a fact. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, it's true. That's right. Take a look who votes today. Sometimes I walk around the mall and I shake my head. I say, this is the reason that we have Obama as president. I look at people. This has nothing to do with race. And I say, they all vote. If you're on welfare, you should vote. You're telling me if you're receiving public assistance, you should be able to vote? No. You go on public assistance, you lose the right to vote. Otherwise, you're always going to vote for the demagogue who promises you more benefits, correct? See, that's the system that we have and why it's broken. I can put my finger on the one thing that could save America, which is if you are on public assistance, you lose the right to vote. That would save the country.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up.
let me start with michaelsavage.com, because the news is depressing about Kagan the Pagan, which we'll get to. Al Gore's accuser has come out of hiding. How anybody would make a move on her is incomprehensible, unless, look, if you can believe in global warming and pull that off, I guess you can believe this woman is sexy, okay? She says that Al Gore is a pervert and a sexual predator. She says he's not what people think he is. He's a sick man. Well, I agree with her in the sense that anyone who would attack her would be a sick man. So that's, take a look. And then while you're looking at her, take a look at the cop killer. Kagan-like judge twists law, overturns death penalty for double cop killer. A federal appeals court today tossed out the death sentence against the cop killer. Take a look at the doll. Convicted in the execution-style murders of two undercover detectives. See? Went to Queens College at NYU. Appointed by Bush. Phyllis Schlafly writes that the Constitution will be endangered if Kagan is okayed. No kidding. No kidding. It's an amazing article by Schlafly that is worth reading. And I should quote from it. Phyllis Schlafly writes this. She says, Barack Obama revealed his goal for the Supreme Court when he complained on Chicago radio station in 2001, that the Earl Warren Court wasn't radical enough because, quote, it didn't break free from the essential constraints placed by the Founding Fathers in the Constitution in order to allow redistribution of wealth. Now that Obama is president, he has the power to nominate Supreme Court justices who will, quote, break free from the Constitution and join him in fundamentally transforming America. That's why he chose Elena Kagan. You hear? While Kagan was dean of Harvard Law, she presented a guest speaker who was known as the most activist judge in the world, Judge Aaron Barak, formerly president of the Israeli Supreme Court. The polar opposite of the U.S. Constitution, which states that all legislative powers are vested in the elected legislative body, the Israeli has written that a judge should, quote, make and create law, assume a role in the legislative process, and give statutes new meaning that suits new social needs. The judge wrote that a judge is subject to no authority except himself, and he must sometimes depart the confines of his legal system and channel it into fundamental values not yet found in it. You hear this? I can't believe this. Despite this weirdo's writings, Kagan the Pagan called this Israeli nut her judicial hero. Can you understand what we're getting here? Can you understand what we're getting here? She's an extreme feminist. She thumbed her nose at Constitution Day 2007 by hiring a transnationalist to the Harvard faculty, Noah Feldman, and featuring him for 2 days of speeches. This is a dangerous nut being appointed by an illegitimate. Well, let's just let it go at that. You get a picture of what's going on now with your Supreme Court? Yeah, you don't care. What's the difference? Barbecue. Go back to the Heath and barbecue. Go back to the Heath and barbecue for July 4th. Outrage on the Hill over vets' exposure to HIV. Did you hear about that one? Lawmakers, lawmakers, want investigation into reports that more than 1,800 vets may have been exposed to HIV or other diseases while getting dental treatment at a VA medical center in St. Louis. In other words, prisoners and the Taliban get better treatment than our troops do. Well, anyway, all of these stories and more can be found in one place. I've collected them for you on michaelsavage.com. Gore's accuser comes out of hiding. Constitution endangered if Kagan is okayed. VA hospital may have infected 1,800 veterans with HIV. And Obama Chicago friend Louis Farrakhan charges that Jews have anti-black behavior. Louis Farrakhan, a good friend of Barack Obama, has written the leaders of more than a dozen major U.S. Jewish groups seeking, quote, repair of my people from the damage he claims Jews have caused blacks for centuries. Now, this is amazing when you consider that the Jews were in the forefront of the civil rights movement, doing everything they could to free the blacks, and here's what they got in return. When will they ever learn? The CIA is now telling us that Iran is going nuclear, and they can't do anything about it. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Obituaries gloss over Byrd's leadership of the Ku Klux Klan. You hear? Treasury lacks staff to monitor bailout funds. Well, what's the difference? Just give it away. More Russia sleepers walk U.S. streets. I think some of them are in the White House. Take a look at the picture of the convict on the run who executed two Tampa police officers. What's amazing to me is that CNN is calling him a police shooter, not a police murderer. Police shooter, you get it? See how it works when you're a vermin? Reverend Wright says white folk done took this country. innocent couple died in bungled honor killing. Muslims in England. U.S. has paid $1.4 million to study male prostitutes in Vietnam. And a Buddhist monk has filmed naked women bathing in holy water at a temple. I guess he's an anomaly. Jumped the wall there. Couldn't control himself. All of this and more on michaelsavage.com, where you can also take a look at Healing Children Naturally, A to Z Natural Approaches for Natural Complaints, written by yours truly. And it's written specifically for you to help give your children some natural approaches for problems, foods, vitamins, herbs. We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Now, let's go to the news itself today on the Savage Nation. There's a lot of big news. It's important. I realize we're coming into the, the holidays, and no one wants to hear about Kagan the Pagan. But I'm going to talk about Kagan the Pagan today. I think it's important. You see, today there was a joke during the hearings. And the joke was when one of the senators questioning Kagan asked her where she was during the Christmas tree bombing, she said, "I guess, like most Jews, I was in a Chinese restaurant." Among Jewish people, there is a type that Jewish people themselves call a bagel and lox Jew. Kagan the Pagan is a bagel and lox Jew. What does this mean? It means a person of Jewish descent who mocks her own religion, a person who shuns her own religion. When she spoke at her nomination hearings this week and said she was probably like most Jews at a Chinese restaurant during Christmas, what she was doing was insulting not only her own heritage, but Christians as well. This is exactly what we do not need on the Supreme Court, an anti-religious pagan. She is the type of judge who stands in sharp relief to a serious person of Jewish descent. Louis Brandeis became the first Jewish Supreme Court justice way back in 1916. He was born of Jewish parents who had emigrated from Europe. Brandeis enrolled at Harvard Law School, graduating at the age of 20, with the highest grade average in the college's history. As a lawyer, Brandeis devoted most of his time to public causes and was later dubbed the People's Lawyer because he insisted on serving on cases without pay. So you would think he was an extreme leftist, right? But listen. As a member of the Supreme Court, Brandeis was a staunch defender of free speech and the right to privacy. And Louis Brandeis opposed Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal power grab. Did you know any of this? Now, as a Jew, he worked for the creation of a Jewish state long before World War II. Do you think Louis Brandeis, a man of that stature and dignity, would have joked about being at a Chinese restaurant during Christmas? Of course he would not have. He would have realized that he would be mocking himself by doing so. But as demeaning and self-loathing as Kagan's type of personality is, it can have grave consequences for the law and human lives as well. Take the case today of Judge Dennis Jacobs. Jacobs is Chief Judge of the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, appointed by George W. Bush. He graduated from Queens College, where he later lectured in the English department. Then in 1973, he graduated from NYU Law. Jacobs also once wrote this in an article. "In our courts, judges are lawyers. Most of us have never been nor want to be anything else. We are proud of being lawyers. For many of us, like myself, lawyering is our only talent, and it is the source of as much esteem as we enjoy." Does that sound funny to you? Well, it's not. It is really not funny because today, Judge Jacobs threw out a death sentence against a double cop killer for reasons only lawyers can understand. The cop killer was found guilty of executing two police in an undercover operation. He was given the death penalty in 2003. Yet this liberal Judge Jacobs threw out the death sentence today because he claimed that prosecutors violated the cop killer's constitutional rights by stating that the cop killer was not remorseful during the sentencing phase. This is an insane technicality that only a lawyer could understand and only an NYU law graduate could accept. And this is what I mean when I say that pagan-like judges can have grave consequences indeed. Kagan is like Jacobs. She is unqualified in any weight. She should not be confirmed. She should be filibustered. If we had a real two-party system, a person of this low quality would never have been nominated to the Supreme Court. Kagan the Pagan. Read about it on MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.
With the exception of calling the Arizona border law racist, the left-wing media is ignoring the problems we're having with the border. There is evidence that show a connection between our open border and known terrorist groups, yet nothing from the media. Joining us now is Representative Sue Merrick from North Carolina's 9th District, who is calling on Homeland Security to figure out how to handle this threat to our national security. And Sue Merrick, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Well, hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on again today. I really appreciate this.
Tell us what you think is going on here.
Well, my concern and fear, actually, is about terrorists operating on our borders and trying to get into the country. And the government just doesn't educate the public about these threats on the border. So I did a letter to the Homeland Security Secretary just asking her to set up a task force, literally, to deal with the issue of Hezbollah and other Islamic radicals that we understand and know in some cases are coming across the border. So we're just asking her to initiate this task force to look into it and really get some answers. And it's so frustrating because it's one of those things that nobody wants to talk about. And then, you know, if people contact the Department of Homeland Security, they say, well, we don't have a problem, but yet the own... You know, the information they put out on a regular basis, their intelligence alerts, they did one in April regarding possible border crossing attempt by a Somali who was actually involved in the Black Hawk Down Mogadishu, you know, issue back in 93. And so on one hand, they're saying there's no problem. On the other hand, they're actually saying, yes, this is happening. And, you know, through their own databases, we've been able to track the numbers of people that are coming from, you know, countries that are terrorist supporting and that we say, you know, we won't do any business with and they aren't allowed into our country. And then also special interest countries, which are countries that, you know, we look very closely at those people about them coming in because of terrorism within their countries. So we're just saying, you know, three things. Start the task force. Look at the fact that they're working with the gangs and the drug dealers and drug cartels in Mexico. And one of the reasons is cheap drugs. You know, they've come to realize that that's a way for them to make money, the drug dealers I'm talking about. And then the third thing is that they're working through Venezuela because Iran, you know, sponsors and directs Hezbollah, and Iran and Venezuela have this very good relationship. So Venezuela is taking them in, teaching them Spanish, giving them false documents, and telling them how to get across the border.
Well, this isn't fear-mongering. This is actual proof this is going on.
No, this is all documented. I mean, the federal enforcement and the integrated database, just from October 09 through April of this year, they have picked up 2 Syrians, 7 Sudanese, 17 Iranians, and they're all nationals from those Islamic countries that we classify as state sponsors of terror. Then they've also seized 319 people for special interest countries, which includes Algeria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi, Somalia, Yemeni, Nigerians, you know, that we know are coming across the border because we have seized them. And so when you talk about that and then what's going on in Arizona alone, I mean, look at what's happened in Arizona and the breakdown of the border in the Tucson area. And then in the prisons in, you know, the California, Mexico, or Arizona area, they literally, very, very well-trained officials, you know, who are border agents and prison officials, are noticing tattoos of gang members in prison that are written in Farsi, which is a Persian language, which is in Iran. And, you know, we've seen Arabic tattoos for a long time, but not Farsi. And they're actually being interpreted. We've got photographs of them that are translations into MS-13, which is the noted drug gang that is causing so much trouble here in our country and, of course, in Mexico.
What can we, the people, do?
What your listeners can do, very simply, is try and inform themselves as much as possible. This information's out. A lot of it is on the Internet. They can read books that tell about this. Find it, you know, so they can find out more about what is going on, and then they can, you know, educate the people in their friendship circles and also put pressure on their congresspeople to start paying attention to the issues so we can get something done here if the administration won't take action. I know it's putting the onus on the back of the people at home, but, you know, it's the government of the people, by the people, for the people, and we've proven over and over again that the only way sometimes things happen at a federal level is if the American people get their dander up enough that they take action, march in the streets, right? You know, I mean, do whatever they need to do and go vote, because you got to have the right people who care about this making the decisions. Really, we're just trying to get the word out that this is a problem we need to deal with, and it's all tied together, you know.
Sue Merrick, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
And again, Michael, thanks, because you're a great help in getting out the word to the people. I know you care deeply about these issues, and we're grateful for everything you do.
Savage.
Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks again, Michael. Good to be back with you and the Savage Nation audience, especially the week of the Independence Day celebration, although it may be hard to find things for which to celebrate in a country that is under Obama. And it wasn't one nation under Obama. It was one nation under God, as we know. And this past week, they passed another, 2,000-page bill into law who's read about financial enslaving of all Americans. Of course, it's a Wall Street bill, as they say, but has little or nothing to do with improving freedom in America, everything to do with regulating whatever is left of freedom on out. And if we think about the forcing of the use of what we call fiat fractional reserve-based money, paper money backed by nothing, I'm thinking nutritionally speaking, why doesn't Obama just go ahead and make Twinkies mandatory as well, right? Hostess cupcakes, Twinkies for everybody, because that has about as much integrity as the money has at this point. And when we speak of course, eating, it isn't all about calories. You know, people are under the impression it's all about what calories you put in there, never about the quality of the calories when it comes to government. And there was an interesting report, Michael, about organic food recently. They say it has a special halo. Is it angelic? Is it angel food cake that's organic? Well, sort of, because this study was about junk food. They were comparing people or talking to people who ate organic junk food as opposed to those when they ate non-organic junk food. And study participants who ate the cookies labeled as organic thought they contained 40% fewer calories than those who ate the same unlabeled cookies. That might be just regular, conventionally grown and baked cookies. And I think this really sends everybody down the wrong direction. People, even those that like to eat organic, are being duped by the calories in, calories out concept. It's a very kind of immature concept about how the body's metabolism actually functions.
Mm-hmm.
It tells me a lot that we have a lot of ways to go before even those that are trying to do better really understand what it takes to be well. Because when a focal point is all about calories and nothing about toxins, you know, what's the point of comparing organic junk food to synthetic junk food? I mean, it's still junk food. Okay, albeit with maybe a few less toxins. Okay, I'll give you that. But, the concept of how we interact with calories, how we interact with the food, if the food is pure and whole and unadulterated, non-genetically modified, of course, by God, we know what to do with it. Our body cells know what to do with it. It's broken down into ever smaller parts until it is released to be utilized in the body as energy. Which really bugs me about people that argue against energy medicine, if you think about it, because how can you argue that energy doesn't affect or impact on matter? Of course it does. I mean, the simple act of hearing words can impact your energy levels. If the words are insulting or upsetting to you, it alters your energy. How you feel, that alters your physiology. This is not rocket science. It's not New Age frou-frou. I mean, this is basic concepts of how life itself works.
Hmm.
So when we talk about the economics of scale, we've got to understand that you just can't print money out of thin air and expect it to retain the value, even though there are legal tender laws. It's kind of like, that's why I made the joke about, let's just force everybody to eat Hostess cupcakes. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? It'd be easy to make them all. But, the fact that multinational corporations with no allegiance to any nation or state abhor competition should be a clue to us all. What should that clue be about? Of course, it's that there's actually one entity larger than even the multinational corporations that abhors competition even more than they do.
What is that?
So that entity is known as government. And again, I'm tying in these two very important nutritional issues, economic nutrition or nutritional economics and nutritional nutrition. Because in regards to the economic status we have, being forced since 1913 under legal tender laws under the Federal Reserve Act to accept something that is devoid of genuine value versus what thousands of years has taught us about the use of metals like gold, for instance. And even if you don't want a gold standard, I know a lot of people argue against it. Whoop-dee-doo! You could have the freedom to choose it. Why not? Isn't freedom a fundamental American ideal as we're heading into the Independence Day celebration? The birth of our nation, the Declaration of Independence, where now we are celebrating a declaration of dependence. Dependence on the pharmaceutical industrial complex for our sustenance. How absurd is that? And dependence on international bankers and Wall Street financiers for our economic sustenance, as Obama and even those preceding him have basically laid waste to the idea that Americans could choose for themselves how they want to be compensated, how they want to work, how they want to enter into contracts, whether they want to be paid in gold or silver or fiat money. Should that not be the choice of every American to make if we believe that we are born with a fundamental inherent, let's say, if we call it a gene for freedom, the freedom to choose our lives as long as we violated the rights of no one else. And so even if you're woefully ignorant of money, the business cycle, and free markets, why would anybody be against free competition and currency? I mean, who would argue against that freedom? Okay, we don't have to set up one standard. Let people decide what they want to utilize.
I see what you mean.
Would you choose gold, silver, or paper backed by nothing in exchange for your goods and services if you could? And of course, that begs the question. Maybe it answers the question as to why they don't want freedom. Because they know that Americans would be smart enough to say, hey, enough with the paper. Let's trade in tangibles. Let's trade in something. Something that actually will retain its value and not lose it over time. Remember, the dollar, as it stands as defined by the Federal Reserve System, is worth, what, less than 4 cents compared to the dollar it was in 1913. So don't tell me when Bernanke goes up and says, I'm here, the Federal Reserve System is here to protect the integrity of the dollar. No, they've trashed the dollar for almost 100 years. And Obama's not smart enough to figure it out, or in fact, he is so smart that he wants to continue the destruction of the American way of life by destroying us economically. And even if you're woefully ignorant about natural ways, for instance, to cure cancer, things we've covered here on The Savage Nation, why would you be against free competition in health and healing? Like, would you choose, doctors who provide you with options other than chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery for any of these serious diseases if you had the choice to do so? Because right now, Americans have to go to Mexico, the Bahamas, to Thailand, to Costa Rica, just to get other care that the FDA will not allow. Because why? Not, this isn't an argument whether it works or it doesn't, Michael. This is about the freedom to choose healing paths that may be different and distinct from that which the government pharmaceutical industrial complex has mandated and then basically banned everything else. Like I said, who hates competition worse than government? I don't know anybody. Government is the big dominator on competition, the competition to use force, the competition to use fraud. No, I mean, that's what they do all the time. If anybody else tries to do that, of course, rightfully, they should be taken out of the so-called equation.
Right.
But the free market, that's different. That's not what we've seen in so many decades in America. So when the leftists, the liberals claim that it was freedom that has done us in, they are wrong. They are so wrong because it isn't freedom. It's corporatism. It's corporate welfare that has done us in. It's the lack of freedom. It's monopolies. It's mandates from government that have done us in. And you don't think with all the innovation in the 20th century, we could have other options for energy as well? Again, this is an oil monopoly as well. There isn't a free market for energy. And if there were, innovation in America would certainly eventually trump the need for so-called oil as the oil-based economy. But we've had a monopoly, and government has sanctioned and defended that monopoly. So when they're blaming the corporations, they should be looking in the mirror. They're the ones doing it. And so, you know, I talk about the freedom to heal, and I know I rail on the FDA, and deservedly so, but they're not the real problem.
Well, explain what you mean by that.
We are.
Why?
We are the real problem. How could a freedom-loving people, for goodness sake, it's almost Independence Day, how could we put up with an overreaching bureaucratic oligarchy that operates under color of law, mandating what we must do while prohibiting everything else, particularly that which is natural, in the care of our bodies, mind, and spirit, much less our economic health? And as we're about to celebrate the July 4th, I hardly feel like celebrating the loss of liberty for which most Americans still seem content. Although those in the Tea Party movement that are being berated by the left and even some in the Republican Party, certainly, you know, we feel what they're going through. This is what we want to have happen, is the awareness be, let's say, rise up to where we can actually acknowledge the real source, the real cause of our problems, so we can correct it, not just paper it over, not just Band-Aid it over, or not just drug and medicate all of America under Obamacare so they don't know what's going on. So this Independence Day, Michael, I would urge all of us out here, and especially in the Savage Nation audience, let's tell a neighbor, don't be a sheeple, don't be a chicken. You were born to be free, and it's time to start living as though you are. Instead of scratching around in the dirt like other chickens, or being corralled with the other sheeple just awaiting feeding time, or being corralled into slaughter.
Sure.
So what happens when Obama, Pelosi, Reid, and the rest of the government vampires and leeches can no longer steal from you, your neighbor, your child, your grandchildren to feed somebody else, or whether it be to feed you? What are you going to do then?
Well, thanks for the report, Robert. Where can we read more?
Thanks again, Michael, for having me on. For those who love liberty, please check out my website at robertscottbell.com. And I hope everybody has a wonderful Independence Day and really endorses and embraces the freedom that our founders bestowed to us if we were be willing to defend it.
Savage.
I want you to listen to an unbelievably insulting and demeaning joke that Elena Kagan, Kagan the Pagan, made at the expense of Jewish people during her confirmation hearings.
As we move forward and deal with law of war issues, Christmas Day bomber, where are you at on Christmas Day?
Senator Graham, that is an undecided legal issue, which, I suppose I should ask exactly what you mean by that. I'm assuming that the question you mean is whether a person who was apprehended in the United States is...
No, I just asked you where you were at on Christmas.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
A Chinese restaurant? You know, Jewish people refer to other Jews who demean themselves in this way as bagel and lox Jews. It's demeaning and a perfect example of why she should not be on the court. But wait, it gets worse. Kagan and the senators are treating the Senate like a comedy club.
We have to have a little back and forth every once in a while, or this place would be boring as hell, I'll tell you.
You know, like all Jews, I was probably at a Chinese restaurant.
Great answer.
You know, if I accept your answer, it's going to spoil the whole 5 minutes I had here.
I would not want to characterize the current court in any way. I hope one day to join it. It means I'd have to get my hair done more often, Senator Spector.
And they said you're not political, right?
I didn't know a whole lot of law then, and there are I didn't know a whole lot of law then.
Let me ask my questions the way I want to. I will. I'm going to be fair. I intend to be. And you know that after 34 years.
And it gets the spotlight off me, you know, so I'm all for it. Go right ahead.
Let me commend you on that last comment. And I say that seriously. You have shown a really admirable sense of humor.
Senator Amy Klobuchar even asked if she had seen a new chick flick about vampires and werewolves. This is amazing to me.
And Solicitor General Kagan, you did had an incredibly grueling day yesterday and did incredibly well, but I guess it means you missed the midnight debut of the third Twilight movie last night. We did not miss it in our household, and it culminated in three 15-year-old girls sleeping over at 3 a.m., so I have this urge to ask you about the famous...
I didn't
famous,
see that.
I just had a feeling. I keep wanting to ask you about the famous case of Edward versus Jacob or the vampire versus the werewolf.
But I wish you wouldn't.
I will refrain. Well, I know you can't comment on future cases, so I'll leave that alone.
This is not a senator. This is not a Supreme Court nominee. These are people who have destroyed the country. And what's Obama doing in the meantime? Bowing to the King of Saudi Arabia once again.
We talked about our joint interest and work together in combating violent extremism. And we talked about a range of strategic issues, including issues related to Afghanistan and Pakistan, Iran and its attempts to develop nuclear weapons capacity. We discussed the Middle East peace process and the importance of moving forward in a significant and bold way in securing a Palestinian homeland that can live side by side with a secure and prosperous Israeli state.
As far as they're concerned, the only good Israel is a weak Israel.
So, Your Majesty, on behalf of the American people, welcome. We appreciate your friendship, and we appreciate your good counsel. And look forward to continuing to work together to strengthen the strong bonds between our two countries.
Shukran, Hunter Rice, Abqayt Kulushi, Wala Abqayt Lishi.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I believe you have covered everything and left nothing out in terms of our conversation.
I'm sure Obama left nothing out in the way of concessions to Saudi Arabia, who were basically working for his Hessians guarding their oil fields. Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on in the Gulf, and what's going on in the White House. But with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. All right, play music for me now. Ready? I'm hitting a point. I made my points. You can play any rock and roll
for me. 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me home. We'll have some.
Let's go to the callers for a moment. Houston, AJ, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Big Savage, glad you're back, baby. Hey, as a black man, Savage, I am sick and
just
tired.
Just one man
of,
in AJ, I'm just one man screaming in the wilderness. No one listens to me.
My dad, man. You like my dad, brother. I love you, bro. Hey, but Savage, I'm letting you know right now, as a black man, I am furious of what this man has done to this country in a year and a half. It took us this long to get to this point, and he comes in there, instead of doing the right thing by the country, he bash the country, take the country down. And black folks ought to be ashamed of going along with this guy. He got us divided. You know what they call me, Savage? Uncle
what?
Tom, everything else, that I'm not going along.
In other words, you got to be for him because of the race thing. I know how that works. It's very strong. I know how it works. I know exactly how this works. Every ethnic group has the same problem. It's the same amongst Chinese, Jews, Hispanics, you name it. Any ethnic group that goes against anyone within their own ethnicity, no matter how bad they are, they're called every name under the sun.
The sun. And wait a minute. And here Hillary goes and stabs us in the back. You know what? You're right. Enemy within. We are in trouble. And I'm the American people. It ain't gonna matter what.
AJ, let me ask you a question. You sound like your horse. Like you have a sore throat. What's with you today?
Savage, I've been debating people. I'm out here in the streets. This is about all I. I'm just one little person, and I'm out here debating people. I'm in the stores. I'm just carving up conversations with them, and I'm letting them know that this regime is taking over this country, and you better wake up. This is different. This don't have anything.
See, this is different. This is worse than Boss Tweed. This one could be fatal. And as I said, you don't have to look any further than the Gulf spill. Why would they shut down the barges? Tell me that one. Yeah, ask them why they would stop them for life preservers.
Get these people off of welfare and get them all down in these towns and get them out there. We here in Texas, and I'm telling you, Perry will get these people working down here, and we're doing fine in Texas, Savage. But you know, this is blatantly done on purpose. This man,
well,
on the
as I said, it's either a combination from column A of incompetence or from column B corruption. But you take one from column A and one from column B, and what you wind up with is column O.
Savage.